GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The Trump administration's newest cabinet member sworn in this morning, Pete Hegseth, is now defense secretary. His oath administered by Vice President J.D. Vance, who last night served as the tie-breaking vote for Hegseth's confirmation. Hegseth today promising to
restore the warrior ethos in everything that we do, rebuild our military, and reestablish deterrence. We don't want to fight wars.
And South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is on the verge of Senate confirmation as Homeland Security Secretary, a Senate vote expected soon today. The White House abruptly fired inspectors general at 12 federal agencies late Friday, including Defense, State, and HUD. Tears of joy in Israel. Four Israeli hostages, all women, reunited with their families. This after they were released by Hamas today. Some 200 Palestinian prisoners released today, also as part of that deal. Many of them are being reunited with family in the West Bank. This is ABC News. More hostages released. The International Red Cross says Yemen's Houthi rebels unilaterally freed 153 war detainees today. Previous prisoner releases have been viewed as a means to jumpstart talks over permanently ending Yemen's decade-long war. A mixed forecast for the Southern California fire zone, rain bringing the threat of mudslides. ABC's Melissa Adan is in Malibu.
The rain, it does bring a lot of concerns. Look, at this point, our Santa Ana winds, those red flag warnings, that is now gone. But the concern for mudslides is officials worry just any bit of rain that could fall onto this area could really trigger these mudslides, which could be detrimental to so many communities and areas that are in the burn scars across Southern California.
Pfizer will pay nearly $60 million to settle allegations that a company it acquired, Biohaven Pharmaceuticals, paid kickbacks to doctors to boost prescriptions of the migraine drug Nurtec. The settlement revolves around federal fraud charges. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Joe Montana here. In my football days, I knew the importance of a strong defense. Now I'm sharing how you can help defend your health against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease. Are you 50 or older like me? The CDC now recommends vaccination against pneumococcal disease. Even if you're healthy, your age puts you at increased risk and over six times greater risk of hospitalization with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50. Schedule your appointment today at vaxassist.com.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hey, it's Amanda, and this is your new WISCO 411, giving you all the details on what's going on in the Valley and Greater Green Bay area. Grab three of your buddies or family members and sign up to Bowl with Purpose with Pins for Pups, Sunday, January 26th from 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. at the Ashwaubenon Bowling Alley. Registered teams will be able to bowl for 2 hours with all proceeds going to Misfit Mutts Dog Rescue, a local Green Bay nonprofit. And did I mention each person gets a $15 food or drink credit? Skedaddle on over to WGBW.fm, click events, and learn more.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, WGBW.fm.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Nurses are calling attention to the rise of artificial intelligence in healthcare. Mike Moen reports.
Last week, thousands of nurses around the U.S. held rallies demanding the hospital industry ensure safeguards as AI technology finds its way into care settings. Minnesota Nurses Association President Chris Rubish, also a cardiac nurse from Duluth, says he and his colleagues aren't opposed to AI innovation, but adds the rapid pace of adoption requires deep analysis. He says administrators should know they simply can't replace decision-making by humans in critical moments.
And it's quite common for the computer program that's already built in to accidentally misinterpret a heart rhythm, right? It happens. Machines aren't perfect.
Researchers have made progress in seeing AI help diagnose certain patients, such as those being treated for skin cancer. However, the Medical Group Management Association says it should still be a complementary tool, noting ethical considerations regarding patient data privacy. Hospital systems are increasingly dealing with budget pressures, but Rubish says finding efficiencies shouldn't come at the expense of patient care.
Healthcare can't be boiled down to dollars and cents. These are human lives, not revenue-generating units.
Rubish says bargaining units for roughly 15,000 Minnesota nurses will be negotiating new contracts this spring, and he anticipates artificial intelligence will come up in those discussions. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For more news that matters to Wisconsin, head to civicmedia.us. You can also navigate from there to your local station. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, mostly cloudy, highs near 30 degrees, a strong southwest wind. Partly cloudy tonight with a low around 8 degrees, wind chills below zero. For Sunday, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-20s. 37 and partly sunny on Monday, Tuesday, 35.
Right now, it's 28.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
It is the weekend. That means coming up on the show, we'll break down all the news that you might have missed and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
If you got the money, honey.
What is up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco, your one-stop shop for everything about the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. I am your host, Joel Clayfish. Welcome back to the United States.
Yay.
Welcome back to Terra Firma. Welcome
thank
back
you.
To the
thank
home
you.
Of the brave
thank
and
you,
the land of the free, Danielle Fairman, my co-host.
It's very
sidekick,
exciting.
Sidekick, hunting buddy. Wow, you have an awesome tan.
Thank you. I know, I do.
You were in the Caribbean, right?
I mean,
you
I
were
was
in the Virgin Islands.
I was in the Virgin Islands,
the
yes,
U.S.
Correct.
Virgin Islands?
Correct, yes.
So you were still on U.S. territory. But
correct.
In all reality, man, I saw some of your pictures. It looked unbelievable.
This was one of my, I've been going there for about 9 years now, and this was by far my absolute favorite trip. And one thing happened that completely blew my mind.
Is this your weekly Wisco in the Caribbean or in the Virgin Islands?
It will be half St. Thomas, half Wisconsin Wisco.
Yeah. Let's hear it. I'm excited about this.
Are we starting off right away? Are we doing this thing?
Well, all right. Let's introduce who we got. Shotgun Sarah Ingalls with us from the Women's Hunting and Sporting Association. She's a longtime friend. You guys are not going to believe. I'm doing it, Sarah. I apologize. I'm going to tell the story. Well, I'm going to tell the story of how Sarah and I actually first got to know each other. You're going to have to stick around to listen to this because it is a peach. I'm telling you, it's a peach. And it is exactly what we talk about on Raised in Wisco, how differing philosophies can still find common ground, commonality, and a love for the outdoors and a like for each other. And I'm excited about that. You were not going to believe this story because it has to do with laws. It has to do with how you get to dress in the field when you're hunting. It has to do with legislation I put together. Of course, we've got Ellie Mae Lawton with us, classically trained French chef, who promised she'd come back
hello.
This week with
bonjour.
Some French.
Bonjour.
Wow. I think
you're
you just
so
nipped,
fancy.
You nipped that in the bud. What you did right there was you beat me to the punch and you said something in French right off the bat. I see. And of course, Jess is in the fishbowl. Producer
hello.
Jess. I think that was kind of a cheap way out on Ellie Mae Lawton's part. What do you think about that?
Well, maybe
Ellie,
my French is going to come out in my
us?
Weekly Wisco.
What? What just happened?
Je n'habite Wisconsin.
Oh, you inhabit Wisconsin. Here, can you hear the golf clap in the background? That's the sentence. I inhabit Wisconsin.
I feel like Ellie
no,
does
I live in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
I live in Wisconsin, Joel. Thank you.
I eat my way around Wisconsin. Is that inhabiting Wisconsin too?
Sure, if you can say it in a foreign language.
No.
Nailed it.
Here, como.
Where's Mike
okay,
for
como en todas las ciudades en Wisconsin. I eat in all the cities of Wisconsin.
Muy
that
mal.
Counts, right?
Mal.
What
are you talking about, muy mal? That is perfect Spanish with a great accent.
Uh-huh. Jess, okay. What do you got?
Gracias.
What is happening here?
Danielle,
2 weeks.
Everything went sideways with you being gone for 2 weeks, girl.
I do not understand what is happening.
When Danielle, for those of you who don't know, Danielle and I have been together for more than a decade, working in the media together. Danielle and I were co-hosts together on our show, Kill It, Clean It, Cook It.
Sure were.
Which, by the way, was the show, essentially a local version of the show Meat Eater, before Meat Eater was a thing. I'll go ahead and say that. We were, you know, showing how to harvest something, what mm-hmm. to do when you did harvest it, and how to put it on the dinner table, which has always been a priority to us. We've worked together that long, and she's also been on The Foul Life, the national television show, and The Foul Life podcast, and she is part, you know, we're co-hosts together on Raised in Wisco. So we've known each other for a long time, and part of the thing that's...
Foot five
is completely acceptable. If you're not, the foot five is the official gesture of Raised in Wisco. I'm just letting you know.
We have an official gesture?
Well, why not? Jess, foot producer Jess is kind of the boss, so I'm gonna yield to you.
Yep, I agree.
Is it okay to have an official gesture for the show, Jess?
Of course.
All right.
I mean, absolutely. The foot five.
The foot five should be
like it.
So, I have to tell you, one of the great things now is that we've got people coming up to all of us on the show telling us they listen to the show quite a bit.
Sure do.
And I think, so if you come up to us, which is fantastic, and you can listen to Raised in Wisco in every one of your civic media stations Saturdays at 11 a.m., then you can hear it later on the podcast. We've got a little teft. If you've been trying to listen on the podcast, we've got a couple technical difficulties. We're going to work through those, and you're going to be able to listen to the podcast. Danielle, tell them where.
Well, it is only the past two episodes that we're having troubles with. The previous ones, prior ones are good, but you can listen to us on civicmedia.us. Search for Raised in Wisco. Find us on Facebook at Raised in Wisco. You can also listen to us on Spotify, Apple, and the YouTube.
Yeah, so there's no excuse to miss it. What I'm going to do now, though, is I'm going to give a little credit to Danielle. I like to think of myself as someone who could be thrown in the middle of a cornfield and talk for hours, right?
Yes.
But I realize without Danielle here, holy cow, she carries me through some of the spots of the show.
I don't know about
that. A couple weeks ago, I had a bone picker on the mm-hmm. show mm-hmm. who had a bone to pick with Danielle, and Danielle wasn't here. So Danielle fled the country.
Danielle, you're going to owe me some like dinners, day, something for, you know, taking that on.
I tried listening to it.
Oh, well, let me just tell you, Marty was a handful.
Marty is a good soul, though.
But very generous, philanthropic man.
Marty is a fantastic person.
But he hammered on me a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah. I tried normally listening. It's the ladies picking on Joel, but...
But this was a dude picking on Joel, too. Aww. Let's just bring him in the fishbowl. They can pick on Joel. That's fine. I don't mind. I take it pretty well, I would
say. The roast of Joel Clayfish.
You know what? If they made a roast of Joel Clayfish, people would eat for months. I've always said, if I'm on a plane and it goes down and I'm one of the dead ones, don't even think twice about it, man. You survive. I'm well marbled. I'm very well marbled.
Can we get back to a happier topic?
Ooh, I'm sweating.
That was super depressing. And a little upsetting.
Do you need a hug?
Danielle, it's great to have you back. I'm so excited. So the bottom line there is, it's just not the same without you. Great to have you back. Shotgun Sarah Engel is a person who has taken it upon herself. Now, I'm not going to get all weepy serious, but I do want to get serious about the topic. We talk a lot on this show about how fantastic it is that women are the largest growing segment of the hunting community and the fastest growing segment of the hunting community. And what is important to me is that we make sure we foster that, because I'm going to tell you something. Hunting is in trouble. Hunting is in trouble. Hunting rights is in trouble. Kids are spending too much time on their little 3x7s on the ticker tocker and all the rest. And we need to continue to proliferate new hunters, folks who are harvesting. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You want to hear some irony? You
know, chicken butt.
That's guess what, chicken butt. And that's from the 90s. Nobody's going to get that. One of the things, they're high-fiving each other now over it. Because Danielle thinks she's funny.
I am funny. Okay, continue.
So one of the things that nobody would have seen coming is that women and philosophically middle to left leaning or liberal thinking people are the ones who are going to save hunting. And people are listening to this, you know, the old school hunters, you know, there might be some folks who are resistant to that idea, but I'm going to tell you something. As philosophies have changed and organic eating has become important, political philosophies are no longer getting in the way. And that is one of the coolest things about hunting, foraging, harvesting, gathering, and putting it on the table. Those philosophies are bending around the backside and meeting each other. And this is a real opportunity. And I think it's women and, you know, potentially liberal, philosophically minded people who are going to be the new hunters, and they're going to be the ones who grow the numbers. Because who doesn't like to eat organic food? Mm-hmm. And you know, Jess, producer Jess, is waving at me from behind the fishbowl.
Hello.
Producer
Hello.
Jess, a year ago, has said she'd never thought of hunting before. She is now a bona fide hunter.
Yay!
Jess, you're a bona fide hunter now. You went hunting. You held a firearm in your arm.
Yes,
you had turkeys in the field. They showed up to the plate a little bit too late, but
they
you
did.
Are now a bona fide hunter. And I'm just going to go out on a limb and say all of our political philosophies, you and my, yours
they don't
and mine,
all line up.
They probably don't
they
line
don't.
Up. In fact, I'd say, if I can go so far as to say this, I'm very proud of the fact that there were even potential apprehensions when we first started working together about
Certainly.
Philosophies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would say, as far as I can only speak for myself, but I would say those are completely gone now because we have found our commonalities.
Well, sure. We've found our ways to connect as people and to find the things that unite us, because in the end, there is so much more that brings us together, that is common ground between us, that is not just policy. And there, we can have those philosophical discussions and these disagreements because we respect each other as people.
And yep. that,
I love that.
That's what radio is about. But that's also about what Raised in Wisco is about. And what Jess just said there is putting proof, something my mom used to say when I was little, that's pudding proof. The proof's pudding in the pudding and it's for sure, and it's putting proof that something that was not even a potential for Jess and me when we very first met is now one of the things that bonds us, and that is being in the blind together and hunting. And we are setting up ice fishing together. She's going to come ice fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I cannot wait.
Yep. I'm really excited.
And, we're going to do that in the next couple of weeks here. You're going to hear that about that on the show. And I'm getting back to Shotgun Sarah. So that was a roundabout way of saying thank you for doing what you do. The Women's Hunting and Sporting Association fosters women as they enter the outdoors. And how'd you ever get that idea? And how did you bring it to where we are? And you got 1 minute to tell me, but we're going to continue talking about it, because this is why it's so exciting to have mm-hmm. you in the studio.
Well, I have lots more information than 1 minute, but yeah. basically...
Oh, we got three more segments, Sarah.
Great. How it originated is I started hunting. I didn't have mentors to go with me. I wanted to learn how to do it, and I went out into the field, froze, and I thought, there has to be other women who want to learn how to do this, and our group started 28 years ago to build
28
camaraderie.
28 years ago.
That's insane.
Oh,
you started the group when you were five?
Yeah. Sure.
Aww.
No, seven.
Oh, my gosh. You're not going to believe what this woman's been through. I'm going to tell you about a tangle Shotgun Sarah and I had that got fairly heated, and now
Ooh.
We're best of buddies.
And
hunt together and we work together with the Safari Club, too. This is an awesome show. We got dinner coming up, too. We're going to tell you what we made and how to make it. This is Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snowshoeing. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland. Miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, Raised in Wisco fans, we love having you along with us. I'm Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman is in the shotgun seat tonight.
Hello.
But although she's in the shotgun seat, we've got the real shotgun Sarah Engel with us. Ellie Mae Lawton is here, classically trained French chef and now fluent in one sentence in French.
Yep.
She's along for the ride too, and she's
super
got
fancy.
She's got a recipe she's gonna talk about today that you do not want to miss. I'm telling you, we love to eat. And at the end of the day, what kind of show is Raised in Wisco, Danielle?
A cooking show.
A cooking show, because every show that's
food
good is about cooking.
Dish.
It's the one thing that binds all of us together, whether we like it or not.
True. Very, very, very true.
Shotgun Sarah started the Women's Hunting and Sporting Association, and she started to get into a little bit of why she did, because she was a late hunter in life. I didn't start hunting till I was 38, so I relate to that. And I have to say, man, woman, child, hunting, getting into hunting by yourself without mentorship is very hard.
It is very hard. And I was out there struggling myself, and I'm actually just a co-founder. I'm not the only founder. We found each other and we founded Women's Hunting and Sporting Association.
Yeah. Well, so you get this crazy idea, which has really grown through the years. And I want to know, when you came up with the idea, how did you pitch it? And what was it like? What was the climate like for women getting into hunting at that time? Because I started at 38. I've never thought of a difference between a man or a woman hunter. I never thought of mm-hmm. a difference. But when I hear stories of women who tried to get into hunting, for many of them, there was a literal, I mean, you hear the term glass ceiling. There was kind of a glass ceiling feeling that they tell me. So was this a tough thing to get past for you? And how did you get past that?
It definitely was a tough thing. We would go to banquets. People would call us names. We weren't really welcome as much as we were
really?
That we are now. Now, I'm not the founding people who started the movement of women hunting, and there are certainly many people who came before me and came before our group, but we laid the path for it to be acceptable. And then social media and TV and everything else kind of made it even more acceptable and normal. So there was not normality back 30 years ago for women to be out there. And we pitched it just because we were persevering and we were out there, you know, paving the way and going out and ignoring it and just keep on and having the camaraderie with each other and supporting each other.
How hard was it to find other women to get in there? Because back, I can only think about 10 years ago, there were not that many women hunters out there. And I started when I was 23. I'm 36 now. So
it was very hard to do that. There was a group of maybe 10 women who did it, and we would grow, and women would come and go based on pregnancies and going to school and marriages. So we've always had a membership that comes and goes just because we're women and we have many things and multiple areas in our lives where we have to be doing everything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it started with maybe 10 people. It's grown to 50. It's gone down to 10 again. It stays at 15. It just depends on where women are in their lives and what they can do and where they're at.
And I remember looking on Facebook how it says woman in outdoor activities. So it's not just per se shooting and harvesting an animal, correct?
Absolutely. We're Women's Hunting and Sporting Association, so we do non-hunting things. If you just want to come shoot sporting clays, shoot a target, come forage mushrooms. If you want to learn how
to do all the things.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
We try. We're a membership-driven club, so whatever members want to learn to do, we make sure to get on our agenda. So you come to our meetings, you want it to be part of our activities. We do one business meeting a month, and one activity a month that is outdoor-related, whatever that might be. Hiking, foraging, paddleboarding, canoeing, ATV trips, as well as hunting.
The pictures I saw on Facebook were pretty incredible. Were you guys doing yoga on paddle boards? Did I see that? Because there's no way I'm going to be able to do that.
I did not even stand up on the paddle board. No? So yoga.
Justin, the fishbowl's nodding.
She's down for paddle board
yoga.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to tell, by the end of this year, Jess, you're going to belong to the Women's Hunting and Sporting Association.
You definitely are.
Safari Club International. Because, I mean, Sarah's, you hold a leadership position with Safari Club International. National too.
I am an executive assistant for Safari Club International Wisconsin chapter.
Yes. And we're going to save for the long segment, Sarah and my tangle, because it's a really fun story, but it also is one of the reasons I think Sarah's great. I never have to wonder where Shotgun Sarah is coming from. She's got a directness about her that is very much appreciated by me. And let me just tell you, that will be the crux of the story. And the story epitomizes what we talk about as far as setting, being able to have arguments where you disagree, being able to have disagreements, and still wanting to share the field with the people. And Sarah and I have shared fields together with Woody, goose hunting together, good old Woody. Something I want to ask you about, though, as a person who has spent so much time and your heart and soul in, put your heart and soul into getting women into the outdoors, one thing that affects hunting now so much is social media. The people, I mean, you can learn how to call on social media. You know, there's no more buying a DVD anymore. You buy a goose call or a duck call, you can learn how to call. How do I coyote hunt? I think that there's such good and bad with social media, because as women grow in hunting and as new hunters grow of either male or female, there are good examples and bad examples out there. People who are just looking for the clicks. They're just looking for social media attention and followers versus those who are serious about hunting. How do you see that, and how does that affect your mission?
I think that the social media movement has negatively affected us in a lot of ways.
Ooh,
because as a woman, you look at what is projected as normal, and you have to be good looking and you have to be perfect and you don't want to miss anything. And our club is not about any of that. You can miss it. You can not wear makeup. You can swear.
I like
love
that.
You anyways.
No.
We'll screw up.
They're swearing.
you can be who you want to be, and we love you for who you are. We'll teach you what we can teach you. We'll learn from you for what you want to teach us. And there is no pressure to have to be on a picture being perfect.
Danielle,
Joel,
you are on social media a lot as a hunter.
Yes, I am.
I mean, you are a person who, but you're also the real deal. You're a real hunter. Do you agree with Sarah? Has social media actually hurt the cause?
It definitely has, because I have found myself the past few months completely ignoring social media, because it turned into a competition between other females. Like we're competing against each other now.
Why? I don't understand. Why aren't you lauding each other?
I have deleted countless accounts because I'm like, I do not need this in my life. There's so much stress going on in the world. Do not add more to it. Just like show a picture of you just holding a fish. You don't even have to be in focus. Just show the fish. Like we don't care what you look like. Like, what did you do with that fish?
Well,
how did you catch it? What are you making
media
with it?
Like, other people are critical of what you look like. And
it's not
know,
just the
gonna,
females either, though. It's the men,
no, no,
too.
No. We're going to continue this conversation, because what's so evident to me, which drives me absolutely batty, is somebody in their underpants lives in their parents' basement as a keyboard warrior, and they're out to hurt. They're out to hurt people. They're out to hurt causes, and they're not helping. And we're going to talk about that because I think that's something that's kind of a tough subject, but it's something that needs to be talked about. And it's not just women, just men. It's everybody in the hunting field. And I'm interested how we can be better. This is Raised in Wisco.
Forgiveness will allow.
And there's nothing I can do about it now.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The Trump administration's newest cabinet member sworn in this morning, Pete Hegseth, is now defense secretary. His oath administered by Vice President J.D. Vance, who last night served as the tie-breaking vote for Hegseth's confirmation. Hegseth today promising to
restore the warrior ethos in everything that we do, rebuild our military, and reestablish deterrence. We don't want to fight wars.
And South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is on the verge of Senate confirmation as Homeland Security Secretary, a Senate vote expected soon today. The White House abruptly fired inspectors general at 12 federal agencies late Friday, including Defense, State, and HUD. Tears of joy in Israel. Four Israeli hostages, all women, reunited with their families. This after they were released by Hamas today. Some 200 Palestinian prisoners released today also as part of that deal. Many of them are being reunited with family in the West Bank. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks head west. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks open a four-game road trip. Tonight, they're in L.A. against the Clippers. Following that, games in Utah, Portland, and San Antonio. Men's college basketball, Marquette with another win over Villanova. 87-74 last night in Milwaukee. The Golden Eagles have never lost to Villanova since Shaka Smart took over as Marquette's head coach. The Badgers host Nebraska tomorrow at noon at the Kohl's Center. NFL conference championships. First, the Eagles and the Commanders at 2, followed by the Chiefs and the Bills. Quarterback Josh Allen hoping to lead the Bills back to a Super Bowl for the first time since Jim Kelly was the quarterback back in 1994.
You always remember the feeling of not pulling through. You know, that sticks with you for a while, and it really doesn't leave. But again, I think every year that you go through in this league, you learn more things about yourself, about your team, about the game of football. We look at that, and you know, we just love the opportunity that we have.
That's the Bills' Josh Allen. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, mostly cloudy, highs near 30 degrees, a strong southwest wind. Partly cloudy tonight with a low around 8 degrees, wind chills below zero. For Sunday, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-20s. 37 and partly sunny on Monday, Tuesday, 35.
It's 30 at our studios.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We have updates on important state Supreme Court cases involving the outcome of a November 2024 North Carolina Supreme Court election and whether Pennsylvania can count mail ballots with missing dates. First to North Carolina, where after two recounts, a race for Supreme Court justice is separated by 734 votes, with 5.5 million ballots cast. Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs was declared the winner over appeals court judge Jefferson Griffin, but Griffin refused to concede and appealed to invalidate as many as 60,000 voters. Griffin's challenge includes voters with felony convictions, despite North Carolina's returning citizen rights restoration. He and the North Carolina GOP also challenge voters with incomplete registration information, some of whom are even elected officials and have voted for years. Wednesday, the Carolina Journal reported that the North Carolina Supreme Court refused to hear the case in a 5-1 decision, sending it back to Wake County Superior Court to consider Judge Griffin's complaints. Back in October, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court refused to rule on whether on-time mail-in ballots missing a signing date could be counted. Of the two challenges filed, the ACLU's argument that rejecting the ballots is a violation of the state constitution's free and equal elections clause will be considered. No trial date has been set. We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
T. Chwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and founder of Chip's Money Tips, Chip Chinnery, and filmmaker Nathan Deming, who is touring Wisconsin to promote his film February. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with P. Chwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hanging on, I'm telling you, and that guy just awesome. Everything he says. Oh, Danielle, Joel Clayfish, raised in Wisco. Danielle Fairman's got something to say. Go.
I feel so sad.
Bob Uecker died.
And I guess probably talked about that last. No, that just happened.
No, didn't. That just happened. Listen.
Poor Uecker.
We're not gonna. There is nobody in this state. I mean, you have no heart if you are not touched by the passing of Bob Uecker. Mm-hmm. He affected every one of our lives in a positive way. I go back to the Mr. Belvedere days, and I have had the opportunity, having been in the media, to meet him. What a solid, solid soul. I will tell you, that guy was committed to this state and committed to the Milwaukee Brewers like none other. So it's only fitting that we take a moment to say thank you to Bob Uecker,
and may his
spirit live on in all we do in the sport arena, which I count as the outdoors as well.
Absolutely.
We've got Sarah Engel from the Women's Hunting and Sporting Association, Ellie Mae Lawton, our executive chef of the show, the chefery of Raised in Wisco, and of course, producer Jess is in the fishbowl, who is, I'd call her a co-host, to be honest.
I agree.
Can you hold that title? Is it okay if you hold executive producer and co-host, Jess?
It is indeed.
Right. We're having business cards made. That's all there is to it.
Posters, let's do the whole thing.
That's all there is to it.
Billboards everywhere.
If you need an autograph, you know.
I want an autograph.
We need to take a picture. I'm coming back with an 8x10 of it next week, and you can sign it. That's all there is to it. Sarah Engel, who founded the Women's Hunting and Sporting Association, we were talking about how social media is affecting hunting, and the first words out of her mouth were, it's negatively affecting hunting. And I want to talk about that, because if you're listening to this show, you're probably a consumer of social media like everybody is now. I think all of us would be embarrassed if we looked at screen time numbers on our phones. I think we'd all be embarrassed. And I don't want to exclude myself from somebody who spends too much time on their 3x7. But life happens in three dimensions. And what is working against the hunting movement, from my estimation, is the things, not only the things you talked about, but the way some people portray themselves for certain reasons to get clicks or followers versus those who are trying to proliferate better hunting for those who get in the field, better fishing, better foraging. And it's unbelievably frustrating. You'll have a kid holding a deer, you know, a spike buck, his first deer, and you go through and there will be comments about the kid harvesting the buck because it's not a wall hanger 200-inch booner. Dude, it's a booner. Okay, listen, boondoggle. I don't care what it is, a booner or not. That's that kid's first deer. Let him shoot it, because the meat on that deer is going to be better than a 200-inch buck. And I am so frustrated on social media. Those of us who dare to call ourselves outdoor users and hunters and anglers and hikers in this state, I am so frustrated that they're going to get on and try to hammer down everybody. And I think this goes back to what Danielle was talking about. You can have a beautiful fish in a picture and post it to share it with people with good intentions, and you're going to get attacked about what you look like.
Oh yeah, I just watched a lady, I think it's not Due North, she's the Northwoods fishing lady. I forgot her
Due
name.
Due North Outdoors?
And it's not the Due North Outdoors, it's not the TV show, it's a lady that's, she wears full-blown makeup, perfect hair, but she hammers walleyes, like hammers them. And she takes pictures of her in the shanty and everything, and the videos of it. And when she holds them up, she takes a still picture, correct?
Sure.
Everybody is bashing on her, saying, this is not where you, this is not what you're doing. This is all fake. This is AI. This is AI. But she posts the video
of her catching
them
fish,
and then just a still frame in the next video. And everyone's just completely bashing it. Like, are you, like, do your research. Like, look at the previous video.
Danielle,
and it's just people. I get this
social
is, this
media
is
like, has given us the ability to not do our research,
so
to
annoying.
Not know what we're talking about, to make things up out of thin air and pretend like they're real.
Yep.
And life does not happen in this. You know, I had a tough talk with my daughter this last week about success. What is success? Well, success to every person is different. Mm-hmm. But success, I will tell you what it is not. It is not what other people think of you or what you're doing.
Correct.
That is not success.
Correct.
And this social media storm has created an atmosphere that we think success is about what other people perceive of us. And this is one of the things, and I'm going to go back to Sarah, Shotgun Sarah. This is one of the things that is going to kill new hunters. It's going to hurt hunting and foraging because people are more concerned about what someone else will say about them than, and how many clicks they're getting and how many likes they're getting than the actual experience mm-hmm. means to them.
Well, and I also think that I can't be that good. Like, I can't live up to that expectation. I can't be that perfect. I wear makeup in the field. I paint my nails. Not a problem. But I can't be that good is a problem for women. So my association kind of takes that away and say, you are good enough. And it's okay if you miss. It's okay if you don't know how to do this. It takes away that whole social media fear of posting it and brings it back to normality. And we'll be here for you. And it's okay.
I freaking love that.
Me
that
too.
Makes me so happy. I'm the hair on my arm's about to stand up. I'm telling you, and that's the perfect segue into. You said you wear makeup and paint your nails in the field, and do it or don't do it. What does it matter? Sometimes I'm in the field wearing my best baseball cap, and sometimes I'm not. And one of the things that Sarah and I, how we first met, I was chairing the Natural Resources Committee, and I put a bill together to allow for pink.
You did.
Fuchsia, the color fuchsia, pink, bright pink, to be worn during the deer hunting season. And Sarah's group took umbrage at that. She didn't like that idea. So she showed up at the Capitol with her group and testified against my bill in
you
the state.
You did not.
Sure did. Producer
Sarah,
Jess,
I think that's awesome.
Is laughing.
I love that. Producer
Jess is now, I'm going to say right off the bat, that is the beauty of the American system. Every person who is a citizen gets their say in every law that passes in the state of Wisconsin, and Sarah showed up to exercise that right.
Ooh, I want to know what about it teed you off.
Joel hunted with me and never asked me how to get women involved. And then all of a sudden on the TV, this was going to get women involved.
I never said that.
Okay.
I never said pink was not for women, but it was perceived mm-hmm. as that. And you know what I learned?
Maybe.
I should have been better. I should have done a better job letting folks know that I didn't have a say as to how to get involved. And you know what I did learn? I learned that I should have gone to Shotgun Sarah. I learned that my better route for the bill even would have been going to Sarah and saying, what do you think about this? Mm-hmm. Is it a good idea? I will tell you, my daughter came up with the idea for pink camo, which is now in 32 states. We were the first ones to propose it and pass it, but it didn't. She said to me one day, why can't you wear bright pink? People can see it as much as orange. And I didn't have a good answer for her. We had textiles biologists study it.
Yeah.
And so, and say you can actually see it as a human better, and it doesn't have a crossover with other colors in the fall.
So however that was
true.
Perceived, and if that's what the media swayed it.
No, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. It was perceived that way.
We went there because we had spent so many years making it okay for women, like having a foundation and a group to say, how do you become a woman in the outdoors? And it certainly isn't wearing the color pink. It's about being 100%. Together. It's about sharing with each other. It's teaching. It's education. It's camaraderie. And it's a whole bunch of things. It just wasn't the color. So I was there talking like, that's not going to do it, Joel. But
you know there are some girls out there like, yes,
heck
pink,
yeah,
I'm going head to toe.
You want to wear it. But fundamentally, as the Women's Hunting and Sporting Association, we were like, this isn't what it's going to get people involved. let us help you get people involved, get women involved.
And look what just happened right there. We had a disagreement about a piece of legislation based on a clothing option that was to be mm-hmm. used. And we may even not agree on that to this day. But what did it do? It made me, as chairman of the Natural Resources Committee, more aware of yep. ways to work with organizations that specialize in yep. the fastest growing group of new hunters. It helped Sarah to understand that people are going to have ideas sometimes that may or may not be great ideas, but they're going to go forward and everybody gets a say in it.
Yep.
And Shotgun Sarah and I now work together with Safari Club. I consider her a good friend of mine, and we are on the same page with the same mission. So the moral to this story by far is, do not let a philosophical disagreement, do not let something that you may not have the same belief as someone else stand in the way of the greater good. And this wraps into the social media. Mm-hmm. We are all hunters and anglers who go on the hunting and angling pages, and we only hurt each other when we criticize, and we only hurt each other when we attack, because you may have just attacked that person who finally got the guts to take a hunter safety class, who finally got the guts to go in the field and try it for the first yep. time. And very, very few people have success on the very first time, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
And organizations like Sarah's and people like Danielle and Ellie and people like me, we do the best we can to take new hunters out into the field. Producer Jess is a perfect example. We had a time of our life. We never killed anything. We watched about 50 turkeys give us the finger.
For oh, no. We saw a beautiful sunset.
A beautiful yep. sunset. And all of that gets missed if all you do is attack. And if you're one of those people out there who's a keyboard warrior and loves to just attack people, I hope you're listening to the show, and I hope you keep listening to it, even if you disagree with me, because what I'm saying is stop attacking people. If you have a philosophical disagreement with somebody over a policy of politics or something like that, send them a DM. That's what the kids say. Oh, slide into their DMs. Right?
Jess, yep, that's exactly it.
Jess, am I too yes, old to say that?
That's definitely the context that we use for that. Okay?
No, that is not the context. I think that's like more of a Tinder context,
yep.
isn't it?
Yep. Yep.
Okay, well, don't slide into their DMs then. Just go into their direct messages and tell
send
them what you're
talking about.
My face is hot. I think I'm blushing now. My goodness.
That was fantastic.
Oh, Ellie,
no,
why are you
fully
laughing at me so hard, Ellie? Look,
I don't even, that's not a dad joke. I don't know what that was. Like, I don't know what's happening.
I just do the best I can, and I listen to what the kids say, and sometimes I use it in the wrong context. But get into their DMs and tell them what.
No.
Don't.
Just
don't
send,
do send them a message.
Hey, can we do a quick announcement? Can we start texting each other again and stop doing all these apps and things? Because it's very confusing as well.
I don't understand.
Nobody slide into
either.
My DMs either.
Unless it's Gator Daddy.
Unless, yeah. Unless it's Gator Baby Daddy.
Oh my gosh.
Or if you want to go hunting.
Back to it.
Sarah, let me be the first to apologize.
You'll have these jokes once you go to on a hunting trip.
We're having
us.
Such a fantastic time. I want to talk now. The next segment is always kind of one of the pinnacles for me. We're going to come back. Ellie Mae Lawton is going to be talking to us about a chefferie. Ellie Mae is going to be talking about what the recipe of the week is. But if there's anything that that I can say, you know, having Sarah here, who is an incredibly influential person, not just in women's hunting, in hunting, with her involvement in what she does. And in fact, we're planning trips together right now. Sarah and I are. Get in touch with them. And I want to make sure we don't go one step further without letting people know how to get in touch with you, how to get involved.
Absolutely. You can look us up on Facebook, Women's Hunting and Sporting Association, or WISWHSA. We do have a website, WIWHSA.org, or you can contact us at 262-968-3873.
262-968-3873. Is that the right number?
Yes, I'm sorry. I said that very quickly, didn't
That's I? That's okay. I just want to make sure, because I know people listen to the show, and I know that there is a, I know that there are diehards who listen, and I know that there are media, you know, the novices all the way to advanced. If you're one of those people standing on the fringe, standing on the very edge, this is your opportunity to make a call, look something up on Facebook, get involved, take a chance, do it that one time. I promise you, you will love it. This is Raising Wisco.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You can't go home if you're going by the mill, cause the bridge you washed out at the bottom of the hill. The big creek's up and the little creek's level. Plow my corn with a double shovel.
Stay on my sailor.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Raised in Wisco, the show that is going to help you get into the great outdoors of Wisconsin. Danielle Fairman sitting next to me, back tan, rested, and ready from the Virgin Islands.
Do you want to know what the weirdest thing was?
Yes, yes. I would love to know the weirdest thing.
I went out on, I hit the microphone. I went out on the boat to go fishing for my last day, correct? Okay. And we went snorkeling and fishing. I snorkeled with a shark.
Ooh, that's so cool.
Purpose? It was not on purpose snorkeling with
shark. What kind of shark?
It was a nurse shark.
Baby shark.
No, not a baby
shark. Ooh, good song.
But here I am, Wisconsin lady, snorkeling, looking at the turtles, octopus, like the whole spotted eagle ray. Fantastic. I'm snorkeling. Everyone else is around each other. And I just look up. Everyone's away from me. And I look down and there's a shark. And then more are coming this way. So I started going really fast about other people. And I go like this to them. And they all come towards me.
I think that's normal.
Because they love sharks.
Well,
they're
do you know what kind of a shark it was?
A nurse shark?
Sure.
Yeah,
okay.
So they're the puppy dog.
Is it the kind with
so
teeth?
It's jaws, dude.
I don't think nurse sharks. Do nurse sharks eat?
No. They have like catfish mouth.
I mean, anything with a mouth can bite something.
Yeah, but it's still, in my head, it's
catfish
a shark.
Catfish mouth, you stick your hand under rocks to catch those.
Noodle a shark. But I went out, I was out fishing, and then I come back here and I go out fishing in 10 degree weather. So that was awesome. In a swimsuit one day and then
a
striker
swimsuit
gear.
To a snowsuit.
Yeah, it was insane.
fishing in the Caribbean and then the U.S. Virgin Islands and then fishing here. And wild game fish is a fantastic thing to eat. Now, I always say I have to get into the food segment because I know the way this show flies by, we'll never get it. And it kind of culminates what we were talking about today, and that is finding commonalities and reasons to get people into the outdoors. And organic eating is... Are you guys big organic eaters? I mean, the three of you, do you try to eat organic? I mean, when you eat wild game and fish, it's all organic, right? Yeah. When you catch your own thing.
I think I have a good balance.
I had a weird organic experience this week. Very strange.
Yeah? Oh.
Well,
this is...
one is
What is happening?
While Joel's having a heart attack over there.
Organic Sarah.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to take, Jess, it's you and I. Let's take over, girl.
All right, Jeffery, all right. Let's go for this.
All right. Okay. Speaking of something to bite into.
Let me ask.
We're all gone. See you later.
Okay.
Danielle, before we get too sidetracked.
How many people do you... three. I was going to talk...
Seven? Oh, okay. I don't know where we're going with this.
Oh, my goodness.
21.
Organic eating is definitely an area whereby people can come together because everybody eats. Sarah is not composed right now.
Nobody is except me for one.
So one of the things
I do better,
it's
Ellie.
It's very odd that Ellie, Jess, mm-hmm. I think Jess.
What are you trying to say?
What I was trying to say is that I don't dye my hair. I wonder what I don't.
Where are you going?
What? That is not the recipe of the week.
Why are you dyeing your hair so dark?
I don't dye my.
But nobody asked.
We have a chefery. Okay. Chefery
Ellie. Hey, Ellie May brought one of the most awesome, like, throw together. Is it throw together?
I want to talk about it, but incredible. You're just over there about your hair and organic, and we don't know what's happening. Right. And we really are supposed to wish a special someone a happy birthday before we get into the recipe.
Let's do the recipe, Danielle.
I'd like to wish Mr. Josh Belsky, my boyfriend.
Woo! Josh!
It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Josh.
Happy birthday, Josh.
We hope you have a great year ahead. We had the most awesome casserole tonight with wild game in it. Jess, what did you think?
Delicious.
Absolutely fantastic. Why don't you tell us about
that
recipe?
Are you going to explain it or am I?
I think you are,
Chef. All right, we'll get back to your hair after that.
Hey. It was going down the road of organic products, but that's fine.
It's
we'll
time
save it
to slide
show.
This recipe into everybody's DMs.
Talk about meat in the DMs.
Oh my gosh, and the meat in it was so tender.
Let's talk about the meat in it. Well, first off, we made a cowboy casserole because it is winter in Wisconsin, and Wisconsin casseroles, there's nothing better than that. So we did ground beef and ground pheasant, mixed that with some barbecue sauce, beans, green chilies, onions, peppers. This is a great dish because...
It's like a dump and go situation?
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say, Danielle. So you only need to dirty two dishes with this casserole, make everything in the pan, saute it all up, dump it in a 9x13, make some cornbread, either use a pre-made mix or make your own, dump it over the top, 375, 30 minutes. It is ready to go.
Wow.
It's like
giddy
chill.
Up.
It is. I explain.
That's
it's
how
like,
easy that is.
Yes. Two dirty dishes. Okay, and a knife to cut your onions, your peppers, whatever. Like I go through the
and you
the
could
fridge
you
and
could
use it up.
You could switch this up. You could put anything you want in.
Yeah,
it.
Absolutely. You can do all ground beef. You could do all ground venison. You could do chicken. Whatever. You can do any veggies you have. I always say it's like chili, sloppy joes, and. I would say like Tex-Mex-y kind of dish. Yeah. And the cornbread on top. Whew.
It was fantastic.
You added some beautiful jalapeno slices on top.
Yeah.
Jalapeno.
Make it a little spicy. Yeah.
I love a little jalapeno.
So it's wonderful.
And then you made a crema for it.
Yep. I made the cilantro lime avocado crema. So thin sour cream, right?
Ooh,
nothing scary.
So
and then some salsa and some right wing sauce.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. So if you want to make that recipe, basically you're browning ground beef and pheasant, any ground of any kind.
Yes. Yep.
And then you essentially just put a cornmeal batter on top of it and bake it in the oven.
Exactly.
And there you go. Well, I got to tell you, what a Wisconsin dish for this icy cold weather and for the playoffs of the football game. So fantastic idea. I think you should try it if you're listening. We love you listening to Raised in Wisco.
Sure
this
do.
Show is the gamut of everything from the outdoors
to
our lives to our personal lives. And having you along makes it all worthwhile. if nothing else, laugh with us, laugh at us, learn from us, and teach us, because the outdoors of Wisconsin is not only really worth exploring, but it will be a fantastic part of your life. We love, Danielle Fairman and I love being part of your life. We've got a recurring cast, Mike Kretschmer, Ellie Mae Lawton, and today we had Shotgun Sarah, who I'm going to convince to come back on the show, I hope. We had a great...
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll review the weekend happenings in terms of news and offer you another look at what's worse, your opportunity to call in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
can you
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Moments ago, the Senate confirming Kristi Noem to serve as Homeland Security Secretary. Last night, Vice President Vance was the tiebreaker vote for Pete Hegseth's confirmation as Defense Secretary. Last night, the Trump administration firing 12 inspectors general from key offices, including the State and Defense Departments and HUD. That's getting some pushback from both Republicans and Democrats. GOP Senator Chuck Grassley says Congress was not given the required notice for the firings. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on the Senate floor agreed.
These dismissals are possibly in violation of federal law, which requires Congress to have 30 days notice of any intent to fire inspectors general. These firings are Donald Trump's way of telling us he is terrified of accountability.
Four Israeli soldiers taken hostage by Hamas in the October 7th attacks returned to Israel today, the second exchange in the Gaza ceasefire deal. 200 Palestinians detained by Israel were also released. This is ABC News.